Chapter 5 treats of different worldly and fleshly thoughts which come to a person, often causing him much grief when he daily studies the art of dying. 1. When a Christian in his sickness or otherwise thinks daily upon the hour of his death, it is often the case that the human heart is afraid of death. That is natural, dear soul, for our nature was originally created for life, not for death. Death entered into the world because of sin, and is the wages and punishment of sin. Yes, dear soul, just as death is a destruction of the living nature, so also the living nature is an enemy of death. Since man by nature loves life, it is no wonder and no sin, and a person is not to be faulted if he is afraid of death and flees from it. We have a noteworthy example in our Lord Jesus Christ, who was himself afraid of death. For although there were many other reasons for his sorrow and great anguish on the Mount of Olives, yet this is also a reason that he was a true, natural human being and had all the attributes of our nature in himself. For that reason, when the God in him, the Word, in that hour of the dread of death, receded into the background and acquiesced to such complete obedience and let such anguish, fear, and dread of death come upon his body, his human nature, still it all took place without sin and disobedience when his flesh had no pleasure in dying. Yes, he says at another place, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? I thank thee, Lord Jesus Christ, that thou hast created me not for death, but for life, and hast instilled in my heart the love to live. I pray thee from the depths of my heart, teach me to reflect on this, that death rules over me and will finally strangle me because of sin. Grant me through thy Holy Spirit that, as often as death frightens me, I may be averse and hostile to all sins, avoiding them at all times like death itself, which comes upon me on account of sin. But help me to cling firmly to thee, my Lord, who art life itself, by true faith, to overcome all fear of death, and being comforted to say joyfully, I shall not die even though I am already dying, but shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Grant that I may believe from the heart that through thee, the Prince of Life, I am rescued from eternal death and shall receive the true eternal life. Amen. 2. But one still finds many people who have an ardent longing for death. Yes, to be sure. But here it is well to note that there are two kinds of people who wish for death. The unbelieving, heathen, ungodly hearts often wish for death, but only because of impatience, because of great distress, with which God punishes them on account of their sins. For since they are without knowledge of God and without true faith, they do not understand the fellowship of the cross of Christ, but despair in their impatience, murmur against God, and not only wish death for themselves, but often wantonly kill themselves, as Judas did, Saul, and Ahithophel. They think that they will thus relieve their misery or distress, but thereby they come into eternal misery and wailing. From this preserve us, dear Heavenly Father. The children of God, however, the more they grow in the knowledge of God and increase in faith and in the love of Christ, will grow all the more weary of this miserable life, will long for eternal life, sigh constantly, and say with St. Paul, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Yes, the Lord has also commanded them to pray and sigh thus every day, deliver us from evil. With these words, they pray not only that God would deliver and rescue them from all temporal needs of body and soul, but also sigh from the heart for the final redemption, when God will either make an end to this evil world, or else will come with a blessed hour of death, and bring them into eternal rest. Help, Lord Jesus Christ, that I may rightly resign myself to the mystery of the dear cross, and learn of thee how I should bear my yoke. Preserve me, that I may not, from impatience, wish for death, or even shorten my life, which thou hast given me, but grant that I may learn ever better from day to day to know Thee, to become ever stronger in faith, to love Thee more and more, in order that I may also learn to disdain the earthly and seek after the heavenly. Amen. 3. Can a person with a good conscience pray for a longer life? Paul has the answer to this and wills that Christ should at all times be highly praised in our body, be it through life or through death. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." Here you learn, dear soul, that St. Paul was occupied with both kinds of thoughts, longing for rest and considering that to be the best of all. But he also saw that it would be good if he would still live longer. There is also the confidence that God would prolong his life in order that he could continue to serve God and men. In both cases, there was the goal that through him, only the name of Jesus might be praised, whether it be through life or through death. That was also the case with King Hezekiah. When the prophet told him on God's behalf that he would die, he wept and prayed to the Lord. The Lord prolonged his life another 15 years. We find also that Paul rejoiced greatly that God had delivered his servant Epaphroditus from a sickness that was unto death. If you follow these examples, dear soul, you will not err. If you can be of service to God and your neighbor, then you may properly pray that God would prolong your life, grant a healthy body, guide and rule you, that you may be a vessel and instrument of grace. But ever commend yourself to his will, and be prepared each day to lay down your task, for the end is hidden from you. Eternal Almighty God, thou art my life, and my times are in thy hand. For in thee we live and move and have our being. I thank thee from my innermost heart that thou hast until now preserved me, granted me a healthy body and a right understanding, and hast also placed me in such a calling and situation that I could serve Thee, my Lord and my neighbor. My God, Thou seest and knowest my heart, that I am ready and willing to continue faithfully in my calling, and that I have no evil intention in my heart. I pray Thee, if it will glorify Thee and be a blessing for me, prolong my life, and guide me by Thy Spirit, that I may continue to glorify Thee, learn ever better to know thy name, to serve my neighbor ever more faithfully, and to better prepare my heart through true repentance. But if this is not pleasing to thee, and thou dost know what is best, O thou wise God, then see, here I am. Relieve me of my labor whenever it is thy will. I gladly do thy will, my God. Amen. 4. What should generally induce a person to surrender himself willingly to death? The obedience which he owes to his God, for we have life from God, and God also has power to require it from us. No one places himself into this world, and no one can remain if it is no longer pleasing to God. He permits people to die and says, "Return, ye children of men." But be on guard, dear soul, when your last hour comes, that you do not die unwillingly, and do not murmur against your God. Do not say, "I must die whether I want to or not." That is the way of the unbelievers who have no hope and build only on this life. To those it will come about as the Lord says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." But thou, my soul, give unto your Lord an obedient heart, to live as long as it is his will, or to die whenever it is his will. Do not permit yourself to go astray, not clinging to anything that is in the world. Regard your life as nothing compared to the rapturous glory which shall be revealed in you. Then you will experience what the Lord says, "He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Lord Jesus Christ, who was so ready and willing for thy suffering, and wast obedient unto thy Father unto death, even the death of the cross, and did say, Father, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I pray thee, my Savior, grant me an ever obedient heart, that whenever my last hour shall come, I may willingly surrender myself and die gladly. Lord, thou knowest my timidity, and that this is not possible for flesh and blood. Lord, guide me according to thy will, lead me in thy footsteps, grant that I may completely trust thee with my body and life. My Lord and my God, thou Savior of all comfort, thou art good, and all that thou doest is good, and hast never intended or done any evil. Thou hast permitted none to perish who hoped in thee. Here I am, Lord, in thy gracious hand. Whether I live unto thee, and whether I die unto thee. Whether I live, therefore, or die, I am thine, and will not be eternally lost. This is most certainly true. Amen. 5. But it is still nice in the world, and its course is beautiful. Who would not rather stay here? All children of the world sing this little song, but you, dear soul, are not to be conformed to this world. Do not say, it is the way of the world, but remember that the way of the world leads to hell. For we are children of the saints, and look for that life which God will give to those that never change their faith from him. Listen to what Scripture says about the way of the world. St. John says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And again, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, namely, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And again, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Listen, dear soul, what the course of the world is like. Notice where it goes, and consider how far it strays from the way of life. Call upon the Lord your God, that he would remove you from the way of the world, and direct your feet on the way of life. Lord Jesus Christ, open my ears and teach my heart, that I may accept thy faithful warnings and be guided by them. Thou knowest me, my Lord, how my heart clings to the world, and how easily it is diverted from the narrow way of life. And Satan never rests. He arouses the lust of the heart, points out one opportunity after another to sin, and pursues me in many ways in an effort to seduce and entice my soul. O my Savior, enlighten mine eyes, that I may find thy way. Govern me by thy Holy Spirit, that I may not stray. Strengthen my heart through the power of faith, that I may stand firm on the narrow path, and permit neither pleasure nor adversity, neither distress nor death, to turn me aside from it. And whether body and life are slain or scattered in a thousand pieces, grant that I may overcome and obtain the victory. Grant that I may ever struggle valiantly through death and life, pressing on to thee. Amen. 6. Be that as it may, yet it still must be difficult when one who has money and property, who moves about in honor and splendor, and lives in pleasure and joy, must leave all of this and die. It is indeed hard for those who are children of this world, who have their portion in this life, and have their mammon and idol in temporal things, as Sirach says, O death, how bitter is the remembrance of thee to a man that hath nothing to vex him, and that hath prosperity in all things, and that is yet able to take meat. But with the children of God it is by no means so hard, for even though they have been blessed by God, and have money and possessions, possess high offices and honor, and enjoy the good of the land with pleasure and joy, still they do not make an idol out of this, their heart does not cling to it, but they thank God and use it rightly. They know that these are possessions of this world, which are useful here, but have no value before God. And they unceasingly consider the word of the Lord, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Put this into practice, dear soul. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If God gives you honor, then be humble. If you have joy, do not be certain that it will continue. Look at the example of the saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Daniel, etc. Yes, at Christ himself, and follow his footsteps. Always keep the Lord your God as your highest possession. Comfort yourself in his grace and rejoice in the eternal one. And then you can easily and without difficulty forsake everything when the time comes. Help me, my Lord Jesus Christ, that I may use all possessions and splendors of this world as a pilgrim who will wander on tomorrow. Let my heart desire no more than the necessary daily bread. Grant that I may be contented and, like a lamb, get along with smaller and fewer items. Preserve me from making mammon out of everything, and that I do not place my trust in anything transitory, so that I will not be hindered by these things in the hour of my death. Help me, my Lord, and incline my heart, that I may choose the truly good part, namely, Thee, my Lord, my Redeemer, my Savior, and have all my desire and joy in Thee alone. Grant that I may be rich only in my soul, glorious in faith, and joyful in Thee. Then I have enough, both here in time and hereafter in eternity, can willingly forsake the world, and joyfully and without hindrance separate from this place. Amen. 7. But it is sad when one must forsake her dear husband, another his dear wife and children, who are often left in poverty, in complicated business transactions, and in debts. These are only fleshly suspicious thoughts with which Satan often disquiets the hearts of men and leads them astray, in order that it may have much trouble and work before surrendering itself and letting God rule. One also experiences that some hearts show themselves to be completely heathenish. They murmur against God as though he were treating them unjustly by permitting them to die right now, since they still have many things to make right and should look after their dear ones in the best way. That is what the noble Roman Caius Marius did. Even though he was consul for the 7th time and was now a man of 70 years, he still murmured against his fate, that is, against his God, and complained that it was unjust that he should die before he had put all of his operations into effect. But the believing children of God don't concern themselves that way. They know that they are not their own God and cannot provide for themselves, but are only stewards placed there by God for as long as it pleases him. And since they daily put their trust in the eternal, almighty, merciful, all-wise God and Father, therefore they also see him in everything, commend everything to him, and entrust everything to him in comforting confidence. Since he takes back their office of stewards and demands it, therefore he knows better how to care for those who are left behind. Yes, he himself wishes to be their father and guardian, since he so often extols himself in Holy Scripture as the father of the fatherless and helper of the widows. Yes, both Scripture and daily experience testify that widows are often better provided for after their husband's death, husbands often better after their wives' death, and children often better after their parents' death than when they were still living. For God does not lie and deceive. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He cares for each and every one who calls upon his name. He will never permit it to be said of himself that he neglected the welfare of a single person or overlooked anyone's well-being. For he humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Yes, dear soul, for that reason he permits poor widows and orphans to exist, in order that he can enlarge his blessings upon them and extol his faithfulness as a father. For this is the sure basis and confidence of all the afflicted, that he so cares for them and will guard, advise, lead, and direct them, if only they let him be a father unto them, so that on the last day no one can bring any complaint against him. This is certainly true. Lord, my God, who has placed me in the position of steward or stewardess, and hast commanded me to manage faithfully that which is mine, thou knowest that by thy grace I have done this with all diligence, although in weakness, that I have preserved my conscience, guarded against unfaithfulness, and in all things which thou hast commanded, both in bodily and spiritual matters, I have thought to do thy will rather than my own, in order that all might turn out well with them as well as with me. Since I can no longer exercise such concern, as I am sick and lie here in thy power, therefore I will now give the office back to thee. Perhaps thou wilt carry it out better through another person. My God, if I should still live longer, let it be a Christian life. Lift me up, give new health and good understanding, that I may manage that which is mine with greater diligence than before. But if it should be my end, then may it be a blessed end. Here I am. I commend and trust and give to thee all that is mine, both large and small. Be thou the father, the mother, the guardian, O thou father and helper of the widow and the orphan. Thou seest and knowest all misery and anguish. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Yes, my God, they are poor and needy, thirsty and forsaken, but thou carest for them. I will not now occupy that office which is thine. My office now is to be prepared every hour and moment for a blessed departure, and to commend my soul to thee. But it is thy office to take my place and to be a father. Lord Jesus Christ, when thy dear mother was a lonely widow, thou didst ordain a guardian for her, namely St. John the Evangelist. Rise now and send good-hearted people to my distressed widow, that they may take care of her, and that she may receive faithfulness and help from them. Yes, Lord Jesus, just as thy mother was a widow, so also you were fatherless. For your guardian, Joseph, did not live long for you. So you surely know what widows and fatherless are. Yes, what is hidden from thee, O thou discerner of all hearts, ah, my Lord Jesus, since thou didst become fatherless for the sake of all poor fatherless ones, I commend to thee my fatherless ones. They are thine. Thou wilt see to it that I and they will thank and praise thee on the last day. Fill and bless their hearts ever with true and genuine godliness, their bodies with continual good health, their lives with Christian discipline and honor, and grant unto them those things in which they may rejoice here in time, and hereafter in eternity, and preserve them from all those things which would distress them here in time, and hereafter in eternity. With long life satisfy them, and show them thy salvation. Yes, my refuge, thou dost set apart them that are godly for thyself. Even so, teach and rule them at all times, that they may follow thee as godly ones. Grant them patience and grace, that they may never cease from following thee, nor give up their faith and obedience, until thou wilt hereafter bring them to me in eternal paradise. Amen. 8. Say what you will, life is noble, life is dear. I will not contradict those words, but I have already spoken enough on this previously. Surely life is dear and a noble gift of God. There is no creature so insignificant that he does not treasure his life and resist death. However, dear soul, you must not love life more than the Creator, nor esteem the gift higher than the Lord who has given it to you. You must also not forget that he has earned something much better for you and has already occupied that which is the very best for you through his ascension into heaven, which is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. But since you have built so much on this life and have come to love it so dearly, I must briefly describe it for you and show what this life is, in case you should become weary of it in days to come and begin to yearn for eternal life. Listen, what does the patriarch Jacob say about it? He says, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." What does the well-experienced Job say about it? He says, "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. And again, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. And again, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." What does Moses, the man of God, say about it in the psalm? He says, "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." What does the kingly prophet David say about it? He says, "Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." What does Solomon preach about it? He says, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it." And again, "This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith." What did the dear old teachers in the church hold in regard to this? Saint Augustine says, "My life is a miserable life, a needy life. The older I get, the less important it becomes. The further it lengthens out, the nearer it comes to death. A deceitful and transitory life, full of the snares of death." And again, "Ah, Lord, how weary I am of this life and this difficult pilgrimage. For it is a miserable life, an uncertain life, a difficult life, an impure life, a life in which the wicked rule and the arrogant increase. It is full of tribulation and error, and should not be called life but death, in which we die every moment in all kinds of sicknesses and infirmities in many ways." Dear soul, note what the saints and children of God at all times have said concerning this miserable life, and how quickly they become weary of it. But because you still have love for it and regard it so highly, then you should understand that you are still earthly minded, sinful desires still rule in you, and there must not be much knowledge of God and little repentance and faith in your heart. Oh, change your mind for the better, dear soul. Do not be so fleshly minded. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and my salvation, surely I confess to thee and lament to thee concerning my corrupt flesh and blood, that I am so very earthly minded and love so dearly the transitory things of this life. I pray thee, my God, enlighten mine eyes, that I may rightly view this life, consider its misery and vanity, and recognize its perilous toilsomeness. Strengthen me, my God, by thy Holy Spirit, that I may overcome my flesh and blood, extinguish my desires, and deaden my lusts. Grant that I may see the unworthiness of all transitory things, and the bitterness of all joys of this world. Implant in me, rather, the desire for those things which will not pass away, and grant me a foretaste of eternal life, in order that I may grow weary of this life, become desirous of death, and be certain in my heart of eternal life. Amen.